this thing being created out of nothing almost is then born into the world, and it's like simultaneously yours and not yours, at least as I see it, and it's a spiritual experience.
My friend Chris Ho is a singer-songwriter born and based in Vancouver, British Columbia. His career releasing music as a solo artist dates back to 2011 with his debut EP, Answers. And since then, Chris has put out two full-length albums as well as a few singles and also music videos. He's toured his songs across Canada and been featured on CBC Radio and more. His indie folk sound is comforting and his lyrics are vulnerable. So my guest today is Chris Ho.
Awesome.
And also my friend.
Hello.
Hello. It's so nice to have you. And so I thought I would start by just telling people how we actually met, which dates back to, was it 2013? Was it literally 10 years ago that we met? Or was it 2014? I think it might
2013
have been,
or 2014. Almost, you know what? I think it probably 2013, because that's when the Vancouver Island Music Awards were. And yeah. I do recall meeting you at the Vancouver Island Music Awards.
That yeah.
was 2013.
So, yeah. Yeah. I was literally in high school. I think we were nominated for the same Vancouver Island Music Award, which you ended up winning. And you deserved to. Absolutely.
That.
I was literally 16 years old and had just like started releasing music. But yeah, we met at the Vancouver Island Music Awards in Victoria when I think you were living in Victoria at the time.
Yeah.
And we connected and you performed at the Vancouver Island Music Awards. And I just remember being so like infatuated by your music and the specific song that you had performed. And I at the time was like literally a little baby 16-year-old who would just like, you know, I was developing my love for music and songwriting and, you know, deciding that it's something I wanted to pursue as a career. And then seeing you, who was like a few years older, you know, you had, I think, just released City of Dust. Yeah, it must have been 2023
yeah.
then, or 2013. And yeah, it was just wild. And then we ended up reconnecting and you went on tour with my husband and I in 2019 around BC. And so, yeah. It's just a pleasure. So can you just start by telling people when you started to develop your relationship with songwriting and what that looked like for you, you know, where you were in your life and how that developed for you eventually into what is your career now?
Well, in grade nine summer, I went to my friend's house. He was learning guitar for about 8 months at that point. He said, "Want to check out my electric guitar?" I was like, "Yeah, cool." And then he's like, "Okay, put your fingers here, do this. And he taught me the introduction to Wonderwall.
Oh, my goodness. Of all the songs, I feel like every, you know, every artist, every songwriter, musician, guitar player has experiences with that song.
Yes, and this was at the time, this was like the primo Wonderwall years, because it was like because it was like
the
2000
Wonderwall years.
The Wonderwall years, because it was 2004 around 2004 2005, and yeah, the Wonderwall years, as we both know, would continue into parties with the classic guy with acoustic guitar playing Wonderwall.
Yeah, and then eventually got so annoying that I literally can't listen to that song anymore.
Yes, and I, as a side note, I recently, and this is my humble opinion, but I think there is a new Wonderwall. There is a new Wonderwall. Yeah, do you know what
it Wonderwall
is?
The Wonderwall Years 2.0?
Yes,
no,
yes.
I don't.
It's a
what
different
is it?
Song. It's Vance Joy's Riptide.
Oh, that is so true.
That is going to be the new Wonderwall, I swear.
It's very
it
true,
first.
And I feel like that's very hipster of you. You're like, I thought that Riptide was the new Wonderwall before it became the new Wonderwall.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I think that is also very, like, a very BC thing. Like, is Vance Joy's
Yeah.
Riptide popular in other places that are not British Columbia, or
You know what? I
because I
honestly
don't
it I
know.
think it is. I think it is, but you're right though. It's probably as far as the West Coast goes.
It's
Yeah,
very like
it's
bring your guitar
probably
to the beach kind of
not
song.
as much of a Toronto thing or something, a New York thing. I don't think it's like an East Coast, like, you know, like, yeah, that's a good
Yeah,
point.
yeah.
But
That is
yeah,
so true, though.
So literally yesterday I was playing that song. So I guess this all comes full circle, because what I'm trying to
Yeah.
say is that I learned that song, and for years I played that song, and I was that cringy person.
You have to be. You
You
have
have
to. It's part of the
to, it's
journey.
part of the
I'm
journey,
telling you.
right? But
It's part of all of our journeys. I should just start a podcast that's literally like Wonderwall based. Like, just talk to songwriters about specifically their experiences and memories with that song. Because there's so much. Like, we can talk about it for so long.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, okay, he taught me this introduction, right? And it was like it took like 15, 20 minutes. And then I was playing it, and he's like, "What the hell? It took me 3 months to learn that." He's like, "How dare you?" So he was pissed.
Oh,
So
really?
he's pissed,
That's
right?
hilarious.
And
That's
then
called natural talent.
so obviously I think like with a lot of things is like I think about like people who are really good at basketball, like in my high school, right? Is that there were definitely some kids who, when they just first started basketball, they just kind of had a knack for it. But of course they had to practice and practice and really hone and build the skill. And I think for guitar, like that's kind of what it felt like. So I went home the next morning and I wrote my first song, actually.
Oh my
Like,
goodness. That is
yeah,
a fast
it was a
turnaround.
fast and this,
So,
yeah.
was that the very fir the day before when your friend gave you a guitar and taught you Wonderwall? Was that the first time you had ever played guitar?
Yes. Yeah, that was the first time I'd
Wow.
ever played guitar.
And
Yeah.
then you wrote your first song the next morning.
Yeah, and so looking
That's
back, I
wild.
honestly feel like it was like just a it was kind of a serendipitous moment, you know, like the universe kind of like that's what it had in store, because you know, the reality for me was that when I think back of why did I write the first song? Why did I write music to begin with? It was always therapy. Therapy is the reason. That's why. So it wasn't that I thought, oh, I should go home and find my mom's guitar and like that was fun, I'll, like do it again. It was literally like I need to do this.
Right.
And the
I need to get
song,
this out.
yeah, and the song obviously sucked, and because I didn't actually know how to play the guitar really, and also at the time I didn't really know how to sing. But I remember, yeah, putting the lyrics down. I can't remember what the lyrics were, but they were very straightforward and angsty. And it was like I had the lyrics were on the page before I could play the instrument and sing. And that's a significant thing, I think, that really like illustrates my journey.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
that's interesting as well because you are such a writer. And I did the same thing when I first started to write. I'm very like lyric focused, and I used to literally write an entire page of lyrics before I even picked up my guitar. And then I would just pick up my guitar, strum whatever chords, and the first melody that I sang like was the song. I was so not focused on the music when I started my journey as a songwriter. It was very lyric focused. Similarly, like you said, it's just like I need to get these words onto paper. Like I need to get this out before I even write the song itself, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So then it was just a matter of repetition and just continuing to sort of fail, quote unquote, to write a song. And then you know, and learn and then eventually kind of putting it together and cobbling together the first kind of songs. Soon after that, my parents bought me some studio time, and I recorded a few songs in the studio that were just acoustic and vocals.
And did that end up being your first EP?
And so technically, yeah, technically that was sort of my first EP, but Spotify and iTunes and stuff wasn't a thing. I don't even know if really MySpace was a thing. So basically this and the cool thing is that one of the EAs at my school was a graphic designer. So he
Oh,
kind of
wow.
he and you know what the he made this album cover for me, this EP cover for me. And it was a woman, a really like emo sort of like cool, gothy looking woman with a face mask on.
Oh.
And then it was just, and then literally I folded that paper. It was like in paper. I fold and I just burned CDs and I gave them to people at my high school. And people were just like, whoa, this is, to my surprise, right? People were like, this is awesome. Da, da, da. And that's how it all began.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's crazy to think about when I released my first EP as well, Spotify and Apple Music, even YouTube wasn't even really a thing. And it was like I'm putting my album on iTunes and I'm making CDs and I'm gonna go and, sell or give CDs to people. And my first EP still doesn't exist on Spotify and Apple Music, and I really thank the music gods every day because it's such a blessing, and maybe one day I'll release it, but it is pretty wild how things have changed since then, and it was so pure at the time that you and I started writing and releasing music. It's just crazy to think about. And so I do like to ask each guest about the first song that they ever wrote, which you spoke a little bit about. Do you remember the name of the song? Do you remember, aside from the very angsty lyrics, like anything that it was about? Or like, do you have memories of writing your first songs and like, what did that look like for you?
I don't know if I can definitely remember a couple of names of some really, really early songs, kind of like more or less what they were. So super cringy, super angsty. One of them was l literally called Death on 124 because I lived on 124 Street. And the chorus was Death on 124. Waiting for your knock on my door, waiting for the day that one, no, waiting for the day that won't come or something. Okay, so that was like part of it.
Oh
Super
my
cringe.
goodness.
You
So
gotta
very
start
like Grim
somewhere.
Reaper.
And then,
Very therapeutic, just like you said.
and and then as for like, and those were really early ones, but when I went into the studio to record like those few songs, because my parents got me it as a gift, and I was in high school giving that away, those song titles, I recall them not being as cringe. I remember kind of stealing from Dallas Green. So I remember
City of
some of them.
Color.
Yeah, I remember some of the songs being like along the vein of like Save Your Scissors or something like that. Like he had, like
Right,
that
right,
was one of
right.
his earlier kind of like hits. Yeah, and he ended up redoing that song later and became popular later, but I was listening to it like, like before like was really big or whatever. Illegally
Second hipster
downloading it
flag.
illegally downloading it on Napster and putting it on my MP3 player.
Oh my goodness. Did you ever used to do the like a YouTube video to MP3 download? That's the OG, and then I put that on my green iPod Nano.
Oh,
Oh
you had
my
a green
gosh.
one. Wow.
Yeah, lime green,
Oh my
I
gosh.
was different and cool.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so you must have been like 14, 15 at the time that you started writing songs.
Yes, exactly.
And it's interesting, like something you said really stood out to me, which is like from the beginning, writing songs was therapy. And to be so young and to recognize, like, I have to get this out, like, it doesn't matter. And I think a lot of songwriters definitely feel that way, especially like, people like you and I, where we are solo artists, we're not a part of a band, we're not writing music for other people necessarily. It's very personal. And so, does your relationship with songwriting or just like creativity in general affect like your mental health, and how does it help or affect it?
It definitely affects my mental health. I would say mostly in a positive way. And I think what it does is it seems to help me process difficult emotions. Because once I can get the lyrics down on paper, and then I can sing it, and it's like I can literally feel, I can feel the words and the breath leaving my body, and then as I'm singing, I guess like I'm kind of taking deeper breaths than normal. So it's like almost like a, you know, meditation. And I heard much later on in life that apparently if you sing every day, it's correlated to happiness. Doesn't matter if you're a quote unquote singer, if you do well. So I always say everyone like
Wow.
sing, doesn't matter. So
That's
there's that
beautiful.
process. Yeah. But then there's the process of actually that I get of catharsis of recording. So that's the
Oh,
next,
yeah.
that's the next ultimate step is like, then I record it. And then, you know, make the tweaks or whatever, and it's like, okay, and it sounds good enough to me. And then I listen back to it, and that is like the, and it's all culminated to that moment, and it's like this, it's wild. And then it's this release. And yeah, and then I'm able to kind of process those feelings. But during that process, I feel like there's like a bundle of like energy and like electricity and frequency just like building and like vibrating inside of me, and it's just like it's just terrible. And then eventually when it comes to that final point, then it's like it's released. So that's
Wow.
kind of how I think about it in terms of like a visual sense. That's what it does for me.
So not only like physically writing the song and getting the words down on paper and like you said, like singing, like literally getting that emotion and those words out of your body as you're singing them, but also recording. That's interesting because I've never heard, I mean, we all have our different experiences with recording and stuff, but usually, and it can be so spiritual and so emotional, especially to sing and to get that out and to have that performance that's so raw and real and authentic, and especially with a song that's very personal. But, you know, a lot of the recording process for us musicians is really frustrating because it's like we're perfectionists and we have to, you know, do the take so many times to get it right, and then we're exhausted. And, you know, there can be so many different iterations of recording. But it's interesting that you say that, like, actually recording the song is like the final process of getting it out. I've never heard that before. Like, how that even helps you to process your emotions through the song. Is it because, do you think that that's because, like, that's the final stage of getting it out, like literally.
Yeah, I think you highlighted that as something that captures like a really, really important part of my creative process, and you're and what music means to me, and what the final, what the end goal is that, yeah, it's the actual, it's almost like the birth. I think of it as like it's the birth of something that's outside myself. 'Cause once it's recorded, it's kind of like it's whether it's on a CD or it's like on Spotify, it's now outside myself. So it's the birth of something, and it's the birth of something that idea that at the time at least I feel like, because I'm not that, it's the birth of something meaningful and beautiful. So then it's and there's and I like that you brought up the word spiritual, because you really hit on something for me, is that it, this thing being created out of nothing almost, is then born into the world, and it's like simultaneously yours and not yours, at least as I see it. And it's a spiritual experience. It makes me feel to let it feel connected to like this like higher purpose, that maybe there's more to life than the everyday minutia and the pain and the doubt, the self-doubt that I'm experiencing. So yeah, like I don't need to necessarily go and play it in front of an audience to be the catharsis. It's just it can stop there. And that's why so much of the time, a lot of what I was doing was I was just recording it and not even playing shows at all, and hardly anybody was even hearing the music. And but it was still so, I never felt more fulfilled from that alone, right? From like three people listening to it versus playing in front of 300 people. It was like I felt almost just fulfilled just having even just released it and no one's heard it. It's like this secret, or something.
It's interesting. I was just thinking about the actual word releasing, because when we talk about sharing our music or uploading it to Spotify or that process, it's like we are releasing albums, we're releasing songs, but it's interesting to think about it as like a physical release. Like words are so powerful, and my dad always reminds me of this, deciphering like exactly what the meaning of a word is, but I've never thought about that until this moment. Like when we re like our bodies release chemicals, and like that physical, spiritual act of your body releasing something, and then we as artists are just releasing music. It's like you said, it's like you're birthing something, and on for like you can look at it as when you write the song, it's being birthed into the universe or whatever, but truly until you actually release that and share it with the world or whoever's hands it's going to end up in, that's like it's yours until that moment. That's wild to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And and like it was believed, like in Greek, mythology, and then like in like by Greek philosophers and stuff like that, they believed they didn't give credit to the artists, so they never put artists and like musicians on pedestals, because they believed that actually it was the gods who were manifesting that creativity through them. So they were just vessels. And so it was, yeah, it's really interesting to think about it that way too, because it sort of takes the pressure off when you don't have ownership over it. You're like, because I'm sure you've had the experience before where like you're just all of a sudden you have your instrument, and then all of a sudden lyrics come out of nowhere, and you're not sure what they mean at the time until later or something like that. You don't think about it much, it just comes out. And so it's like, yeah, they believe that the words were just coming, they're just being channeled by, so I so that's was the experience. And I had
No,
to, and yeah.
I feel and believe the exact same thing, and like there's no way you can even describe it to someone who maybe doesn't necessarily experience it, because it can happen creatively to so many people in so many ways, but like specifically as a songwriter, it's like I personally feel that my best songs just kind of happen without me even being there. Like I am obviously there, I'm in full control of what I am producing, but in terms of the context and what comes out of me, it's just like it just happens. And for me personally, I know that that's my best songs are when I'm not even really paying attention to what I'm doing, it's just happening. Something's flowing through me, and I was just saying my dad always talks about words, and he often also reminds me that like inspiration, the word inspire is like in spirit, so it's like coming from within your spirit,
Oh,
which
interesting.
is
That's
how,
appropriate.
yeah,
That's.
and it's just wild to like decipher all of these words that we say almost every day as musicians, and these things that we do are like, it's interesting though. I didn't realize that the like Greek mythology or like back in the day that they just didn't, label art as being from an artist.
Yeah,
It's
so
very
it's
selfless.
'cause you know how these days we worship people, right? I mean, think about David Bowie, right? David
I
people,
definitely worship David
right?
Bowie.
Like especially as an artist, you're just like, "Oh, David Bowie," right? But that can be sometimes damaging for the egos of those artists, because they have so much to live up to. They're supposed to be a god. They're revered as pretty much a god. That's a lot to put on your shoulders as a mere human. And then you're just like, what if I never write that my next hit, quote unquote,
And then it turns into a hit instead of art,
Yeah, and it can be so when you take the but when you really break down, like you're saying right there, I mean, inspire in spirit. You know what I mean? There's so many like clues in the language. around writing. There's clues in the language of creation that clue us into, hey, maybe there's something else going on here beyond just our actual mechanical skills of putting things together and knowledge of music theory when we're in a flow state. And I guess like it for people who are listening to this who don't write music, that's another way to think about it is like, have you ever been like hiking or snowboarding or skiing or something or doing an activity where you just kind of lose track of time and you're just totally in the moment? That's what it is. And you can still connect it. You don't necessarily need to be writing a song or doing something to achieve that. And I think that's a really cool aspect to like try to remember and like nurture and appreciate, you know?
And also just like sink into it. Sometimes I feel like that happens when I'm driving home and I do you ever like completely black out when you're driving home and then you just like end up at your house and you're like, how the fuck did I get home? Because I wasn't paying attention at all. And I'm like, you know, somebody's obviously helping me along this journey to get me safely home. I mean, that's kind of a silly example, but it's
No, that's like
like
a perfect
I
example.
completely blacked out
Who's
and
behind
here
the
we
wheel?
are. Jesus, take
Who's
the
exactly,
wheel.
right? Like whatever and you know, and it's not like it's not a specific religious thing. It's just a spiritual kind of overall thing. We don't know what
Absolutely.
it could be just our relationship to the energy around us and of the universe,
Absolutely.
right? Since the Big Bang. But however you want to conceive it, I just really believe that there's something going on beyond just our fingers and our, you know, saying stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And if you
absolutely.
can, the more you can connect to that, the richer the music, I guess, that maybe that you can write. But yeah, but being in the room with another writer though is another way to kind of like get on that level, you know, like another sort of spirit, right? What's like one spirit versus, right? Versus two spirits, right? And just trying to kind of like,
In
you know,
collaboration.
like, but that's of course a challenge too, because then you're sort of like self-conscious and stuff. But if you can get to a point where you're just letting go of that judgment, you can really like, yeah, you can really get on another level.
Yeah, I always try to bring my highest self to any sort of like creative situation, even if it's just me writing a song by myself with no one around, but sometimes it's hard because we can be very self-deprecating as artists. I think it's kind of, you know, it's kind of part of it, but it's a good thing to aspire to. And I also was sorry. What you were talking about was also just reminding me of The Artist's Way, the book by Julia Cameron. I don't know if you've read it, but
No.
that I don't know what's in my hold on. Excuse me. That book specifically talks about the creative process in relation to connecting with a higher power. You know,
Cool.
she says God in the book, but you know, at the very beginning she's saying like you don't have to see it as God, you can see it as like you were just saying the energy around you, the like just the universe, like a higher power, however you want to, you know, like symbolize that the way that it is for you. But she talks about how when you're connecting to a higher power when you're creating, like for example in songwriting, if you leave yourself open to that, and you just take care of, she references it as like if God or the universe takes care of the quality of my work, I'm going to take care of the quantity. So like if you're just always there to receive that openness and like have that, you know, inspiration tube or whatever open, and then you just are there to receive it and, you know, execute and produce, then, you know, the higher power will take care of the quality of that work. Like we're just saying, sometimes it just happens without us realizing, and we write lyrics that, you know, for me personally, like I write songs and then I listen to them years later and I'm like, wow, I actually really needed to hear this. And I think I wrote the song for myself, not realizing at the time, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to get better at, because obviously if somebody can you imagine if you're on the bus and somebody heard you listening to your music, and they looked down at your phone and it was like Phoenix Lazar, you know what I mean? Like you'd be like somebody caught Kanye West doing that, and it's like, but I think we need to get away from that because I'm trying to get away from that, okay? Like that's I guess what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to get away from that because the other day, because there's a difference between listening to your music on a spiritual, right, self-growth, right, kind of level and an egotistical level. And the other day I was just kind of like, I was like, oh, my album's in the car, like I'm gonna listen to it. And I had like a very and it was like I was like, I really, yeah, like kind of what you just said, I needed to hear this. And I was like, if I put in all that time, right, like writing, recording, all that, and it's like for me to not enjoy the fruits of the labor, what the heck am I even really doing if it's not for me? Because I because listening back to it, like I wouldn't have put those songs on the album if I didn't feel like it captured a feeling that I didn't want to forget and that I wanted to honor and hold within myself and say it's okay. And so, yeah, so lately I've actually been listening to my music more.
That's
But really not
amazing.
being like, oh, you're awesome, like, but just literally like in a way that's like, oh, this is really affecting me. Like, oh man, like I'm so grateful that this came to fruition. And I'm almost kind of like thanking, whatever the heck's out there, for it. And like, I don't know, that's been really a healing process for me too.
Yeah, I honestly think that more people, including myself, should do that. And it's, sometimes it can be hard, but it is also part of, like you said, healing and growing and recognizing like this for me, like when I listen back to my songs or albums, like they symbolize a chapter of my life. And I think about what I was going through at the time and how it affected me then and how it's affecting me now, how these words, how I heard them then and how I hear them now. And, it can be hard because I think we're always growing and changing, especially musically, like the physical sound, can change so much even within like a year or whatever. But it's a good point. I agree that we certainly need to, and also just be easy on ourselves when we listen to our music. I listen to your music. Your music was actually, speaking of my, it might not have been on my iPod Nano, but it was certainly on my iPod Touch. I can't
Oh,
remember
that's
if
so
I might
awesome.
have illegally downloaded it, but hopefully not.
That would be kind of almost more of an honor. Like I'd feel like, oh, you can illegally download my music. Like I've made it.
Yeah,
But
especially back in the day.
but something that I meant to point out when you talked about when we first met, that's really cool. That I didn't get to say at the time was that you heard. Okay, so like you heard a song that I was playing right at the Vancouver Island Music Awards, and yeah, and you were basically just like, wow, that song, like, oh my gosh, it's like speaks to me, it was like written for me kind of thing. And it's like I know that feeling when you hear a song. And like, and so the cool thing about that is that that song I didn't release until years and years later, until literally I think it was last year or 2021, and I asked you to sing backup vocals on it, which I think is so cool because you're one of the first people that heard the song. You said you were 16 at the time.
I must have been 16, yeah.
That's very like, and you connected to the song at that time, and then we came to like tour and stuff together. So I just wonder like, what was that experience like for you? I mean, it's kind of sucks that I wish that we would have actually been in this like a studio or something together, or like a room together with a mic, but we had to do it over COVID or whatever, the pandemic, and so it was a bit disconnected. But how did you find that process? I'm wondering of that coming full circle. Was that like weird or what?
Well, it was interesting because I wasn't aware, like I didn't connect that the song that I heard you play for the first time at the Vancouver Island Music Awards was the same song because you changed the name. Because it used to be called Annabelle, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you changed the name to Borrowed Books, which I love. But it didn't, because you didn't mention anything at first. I was just like, oh my God, such an honor to sing on Chris's music. Like, you genuinely know outside of, you know, the experience we've had playing shows together and, you know, being friends and, you know, connecting as musicians. On top of that, I just genuinely love your music. I mean, like I said, it was on my iPod and I used to sit on the bus to school listening to City of Dust. So
wow.
I was just like excited that you had asked me to be a part of the song. And then it wasn't until like, I don't know if it was after or throughout the process that you were like, oh, and also like, this is that song that you heard me play for the first time. And it was just wild. And then I realized, because, you know, I obviously knew the song, but I know so many of your songs that I was just like, yeah. And, you know, you've performed it at all these shows that we've played together. And I just didn't clue into that it was that same song, because I had forgotten which one it was. But it just goes to show that, like, I don't know, I think we're pointed in directions for a reason, you
yes.
know, as humans and also as
yeah.
artists and musicians. And, like, you know, I think that, you know, being 16 and being like, oh, there's this other singer-songwriter that whose music I love, I want to make a connection. And even after, you know, connecting with you and saying, hey, do you want to tour together? Why not? Like, there's reasons why these things happen. And I just hope that it's inspiring to anyone who's listening, or, you know, anyone who's in a similar position, to just like connect with those people and say those things and like take risks and stuff. Cause
right.
Things like this can happen where it's like a beautiful collaboration of a really cool song that, you know, took over 10 years to be birthed, as you said, into the world. Like, that song, you know, 10 years later, and we're releasing it, or rather you're releasing it with me in mind being a vocalist on it. It's just like, you know, it's just wild. And these things like happen for a reason. And music is so tender and, like, you know, it's so special and pure. And there's probably a reason why you waited 10 years to release that song the way that you did.
Yeah.
You know, and you probably didn't even realize it. You know, it was just everyone should go listen to that song. It's called Borrowed Books.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And if I didn't wait so long, and you're right, other things were in play that were preventing me from releasing it sooner. Other things happened, and then mm-hmm. it ended up all coming full circle. And I think I found it like to be just, I don't know. It was cool to me for sure. And this reminds me of when I was listening to the Zolas a lot when I was younger. And they were like the biggest influence. And then I ended up going on a train tour with Zach Gray of the Zolas and some other people. And then, you know, and I would listen to his songs all the time, just like you were describing. And then on the train, he ended up playing like an acoustic version of Marlena Kamikaze. And he was getting me to sing, and I was singing it with him. Wow. And it was like this full circle moment. And yeah. So you're right. You never know. Putting yourself out there. And, you know, you might be nervous to like go up to somebody and say something and speak from the heart or whatever. But you honestly, if you do it, wow, does it open up new possibilities in your yeah. life. And the cool thing about Borrowed Books is that Borrowed Books was, for a while, it was on like it was basically charting on SubmitHub as like one of the top oh, folk wow. songs, like one of the top folk songs on SubmitHub,
like just when you this just last November last
no oh, wow. like even after the release, like later. And I was getting notifications saying like, yeah, like you're cool. like, because I was like, wait, why is it giving me notification? It's like, if you got this notification, it's because it's like your song's been like at the top of, you know, the folk chart or whatever, you know.
That's
and
amazing.
So that's pretty special, right?
I do still listen to that song. Like, I just listened to it the other day. I think it's so beautiful. And I think that the direction in which your production is going in, I really enjoy. And like the risks that you take with your production, like, you know, reverse reverb on your vocals and like cool things like that. I really enjoy listening to your music. And
thank
I did
you.
Wanna, speaking of songs that I love of yours, the song that I literally must have listened to, I'm not even kidding, like probably 1,000 times, is No Connection.
Yeah, I knew it.
Which is off of City of Dust, your
yes.
second album. And, you know, that album, at the time that it was released, I personally really loved. But that song in particular, I don't know what it is. But I just wanted to, I'm curious to hear like what your relationship with that song is, and specifically the lyrics, because I find that now more than ever, you know, the song is, you know, basically like busy little bees with no connection, and and, you know, as technology progresses and as we, you know, certainly with what happened with the pandemic and people literally being afraid of being in the same spaces together, you know, that it just really, it resonates with society currently. And this was, you know, a decade ago that you released it. So it's just wild that it's more than ever so relevant. But just like, tell me about your relationship with that song or how you wrote it or...
I was on a Greyhound, going to be the best man at a friend's wedding in New York. And that's right there is an example. That song was channeled. I didn't really think about the lyrics. The lyrics just kind of like came pouring out of me. I think I'd actually started writing it before I was on the plane, but then I got like after I got off the plane and then I was on the Greyhound, then I got another kind of like, all of a sudden I was like, oh, I need the notebook, got more lyrics. And I think that song was kind of before its time, like in a way, like, because
yeah, I think so too.
Like, and the crazy thing is that that's not the first one of my songs that have told a future. Cause I've had another song that literally at the time I had no idea what it was about. And then 7 years later, just events were happening and all of a sudden the song popped into my mind randomly. And I looked at the lyrics and all the lyrics were describing what was perfectly happening in that moment. Seven
wow.
years later, it didn't really mean anything at the time. I just knew, but it was channeled through me. And if something's channeled through me in a song, it's an act of faith almost. Whereas I'm like, if somebody asks me what the song is about, I don't know, but I need to put it on the album. And that was one of those songs. That was Centuries of Guns, actually. It's called It's Off Places You've Been. And then, yeah, years later, it ended up just describing like perfectly, like even specific stuff like mentioning writing letters and da da da. Like I was actually writing letters, which who does that anymore, right? But it was just so. That's like one of those, I honestly think that, yeah, that song was just channeled through me, right? And you're right, like years later, because that's what the song is about. That song is about living in a time where you are digitally connected, so easily digitally connected with friends and family, but for whatever reason, still feel a little bit disconnected at the same time. And it's bittersweet. It's a bittersweet thing because you're still getting sort of the connection, but there's something not quite there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you're
and just
right,
being
that applies.
Busy and too busy to really put the time and energy into, you know, producing genuine connections.
Yes, exactly. But it's a very personal, it ended up being a very personal song to me because literally, yeah, a decade later after writing that song, right, I my dad actually said to me, I was on the phone with me, and he was like, you know, he's like, you know, I think the best song you've written is No Connection. And he says, yeah, and he says, and you know, it's my favorite song, and I think it's because of this. He's like, I've seen you. He's like, it hasn't been until this last year that you've that you have gotten out of your shell and have realized that you were isolating yourself so much and it was making you so sad. And now you finally realize the importance of forcing yourself to socialize and connect and open up and be honest to people outside of music. Because I was being honest through my music, but I wasn't being as honest about how I was really feeling in conversation and with close friends. I wanted everybody to think that I was like good and okay. I just wanted to be happy. I didn't want to be a burden, et cetera, et cetera. So that song is probably the most special song to me because it really captures how I was living in a way of, in a sense of isolation, and I was disconnected, and how, and it represents my top value, which is connection and belonging. So
So
it's a
you're almost like
reminder to
writing it
myself.
for yourself at the
Yes.
time without even realizing it. Like you were
Yes.
saying the words that you needed to hear at the time, and then 10 years later, you're like, oh wow, this really resonates with me. And
Yeah.
it's so crazy how music can do that, and how we can write songs literally like to ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know, and not realize it until later. And that has happened to me so many times. And especially, like you said, with songs that you start writing and then you put them down, and then all of a sudden there's like a like an energy force within you that's like, I need to pick the song back up, you know, because that's happened to me as well before, where like, you know, I'll start writing a song, put it down, and then like years later, I'll be like, I need to finish this right now. You know, like there's some, and like, you know, we can't really understand why that is. But it's very interesting, and I'm glad that you have that relationship with that song, 'cause, and your dad as well, 'cause it's very telling. And I also think that especially the people that know you best, like, you know, my family's favorite songs of mine are different than my favorite songs of mine.
Yeah.
And it's always those songs that I come back to, and I, you know, realize, oh, this is actually like a very special piece of music that I didn't even realize. Because those people know us so well. But so to end out this lovely conversation, I wanted to ask you, what is a piece of advice that you would give to yourself in the past, specifically in relation to being a songwriter? And what is a piece of advice that you would give to yourself moving forward in your relationship with writing?
That's a good question. I guess what I would say to myself in the past is that I guess two pieces, which is like re remember why, remember the reason why you're doing it, and remember that you're enough. Is probably what I would say.
Absolutely. I
Because
think everyone needs to hear that,
everyone needs to hear that, right? But
no
like,
matter what.
but I got very distracted in why I was, yeah, I definitely got sidetracked and lost touch with the root of the passion, because of getting caught up in all the minutia of like numbers and trying to be proactive and trying to get out there, exposure, blah blah blah, marketing, blah blah blah. So I just got totally consumed by that and lost sight of like why it was important in the first place, and was living in like a feeling of like not being good enough. And then so and then for my future self, you said like,
Like moving forward, what's something that you want to bring into your relationship with writing, and what you want to keep in mind for the future for yourself specifically?
yeah, so for my future self is almost like, remember, I would say it's not all about you. That's what I would say. It's
I
not all
love
about
that.
you, and the connection to music there is that it's just a reminder to connect to like my spirituality and be like, you know, if a song, if you feel like, if I feel compelled, if I have a feeling that's like, just a gut feeling and not driven by like a thought, it's just a gut feeling of like, you got to record this song, Chris. You just have to do that. It's not even about you at this point. It's just something that you, your time on earth, that's just something that you have to do. It doesn't mean that it's some, that you know, like it's some spectacular thing. You're like, you just, that's how important. It doesn't mean that you're like, oh, that's how important you are and how important your music is. It's just that it's not all about me. It's just, there's some things that have to get out. There's some things that need to be said to people, like you're saying, going back to what you coming up to me and saying that compliment to me there, right? There's some people who are meant to meet, right? There's some people that are meant to hear a song, et cetera, et cetera. It's not all about me, and just try to get out of your head, Chris, you know? So, yeah.
I love that. I can absolutely relate to that. And sometimes it takes artists a long time to decide to record a song, and or we record it and then we sit on it and we forget about it. And this happens so much, and it's like you have to latch on to that like forward motion of, I have this gut feeling that says I need to record this song now and get it out. Because sometimes if you don't like hold on to that and ride the wave, it won't happen. And you never know, in addition to like ourselves 10 years later listening to songs and thinking, you know, I really needed to hear this, but like you never know whose hands your music is going to end up in. Like you can be discovered by some random person in Lithuania that's going through heartache, and then they can be like, wow, I just love this song. And then they listen to it on repeat for the next year, and it gets them through the hardest time in their life. You're like, you never know what could happen. And it's true that like as artists, it's like we have to be selfless, because what we're doing is, even if you don't think it is, it's bigger than us. Like it's always bigger than yourself, I believe. And you know, that's in contrast to, like you said, the numbers and getting caught up in the semantics of the music industry, and that can turn onto a dark path very quickly. If you focus too hard on that, because you know, there are many selves, you know, there's a lot of selves within us, and you know, it can, we are naturally ego driven people, as people who get on stage and say, hey, look at me, like look at this thing I did and how good I am. So that is really good to keep in mind, like it's not all about you. And even when you're performing a show to a sold out theater of people that are all there for you, it's like it's still not all about you. Like there are so many factors that go into that happening. Like that is happening because of all of your fans. That's happening because of the venue and the theater and the people that helped you record these songs, and you know, all of the support. It is literally and metaphorically not always about you, in a good way, you know? I really like that a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. So please tell everyone where they can find you. Obviously, I'm a big fan of your music, and you are such a wholesome, talented person. So, you know, everyone, please listen to Chris's music, but where can people find you?
I think the best way would just to look on Instagram, Chris Ho Music, and then just hit the link tree, link at the top, and then you can just kind of be like, listen to a song right away, watch a music video right away,
Perfect.
just
Yeah,
so you can check it out.
your latest single, Everything Is Endlessness, and the music video that's is paired with that is just stunning. My husband and I watched it together, and I love it. I just love the direction that your music is headed in, and you know, you're such a incredible, well-rounded person, and I'm Thank always you. Just excited to just continue to support and listen to whatever you release. Literally release
yeah, exactly.
Chemically release out of your body.
Thanks so much.